Chapter 13. "Okay, this gets complicated," Marsh said. He fumbled with his tablet to call up his latest presentation. Cardenia kept herself from giggling at the warning. "I know that," she said. "Remember what we're doing. Your job is to make what you're about to say comprehensible to people who aren't flow physicists, politicians, journalists, normal humans. Me." "You're not normal," Mars pointed out. "No," Cardenia allowed, "but once upon a time I almost was. I'm definitely not a flow physicist, however. For the purposes of this presentation, I'll do." The two of them were in the small media theater attached to Cardenia's personal apartments. It could seat about 25 and was where the Emperor, when she felt like letting her hair down, could invite friends to watch the latest entertainments on a large screen with genuinely amazing sound. That was the theory, at least. In reality, by the time Cardenia was done with her daily tasks as Emperor, the last thing she wanted to do was to have a couple dozen people whooping and yelling at something bright and noisy. She mostly just crawled into bed with Mars. And if the two of them watched anything, it would be on one of their tablets, propped up by one of their knees. Mars had once observed the irony of the most powerful person in the known universe consuming media like a starving college student. Cardenia had replied by hauling him out of bed and making him watch their show in the theater. They ended up watching 5 minutes of the show and then did something else entirely, which did not involve watching what was up on the screen. Cardenia smiled at the memory. What they were doing in the theater now was not what they had done then. "Okay," Mars said, and then activated his slideshow on the theater's very large screen. The first slide's title was, "What is the flow?" Mars frowned. You already know this part, he said to Cardenia. "Yes, I do," she agreed. "Why don't you skip ahead to the new, complicated part?" Mars flipped forward through several additional slides covering the very, very basics of flow physics and the astrography of the flow and the interdependency. Cardenia made a note to have one of her people ask one of the visual artists in the Imperial Information Office to help Mars pretty it up for general consumption. Mars might be a genius in many respects, but visual design wasn't his forte. "Right," he said, finally, and stopped at a slide that featured a visual representation of a flow shoal. "This is a flow shoal as we typically know it. It's where ships enter or exit the flow, and it's static relative to the most massive object in its system, usually its star. Indeed, in a way, you could say the flow shoal is anchored by gravity. It's why we find shoals in star systems, but almost never outside them." Mars tapped his tablet, and then another representation of a flow shoal appeared, this one moving and shrinking on a loop. "But then, about 2 years ago," Mars glanced up at Cardenia, "literally just before I got on a ship to come to Hub, in fact," Cardenia smiled at this, "a fiver that had unexpectedly been dropped out of a decaying flow stream discovered this, an evanescent flow shoal, that, unlike the flow shoals we typically see, both moved independently and shrank. In fact, given how small the time frame in which it existed, it's fair to say that it evaporated." Another slide, filled with equations Cardenia could not hope to follow. "How did this happen?" "I hypothesize that the decay of the flow stream precipitated the existence of several localized evanescent streams that connected temporarily to the main stream, like fibers spinning out of an unraveling rope. There's no gravitational source for them to anchor to, so they don't last. We've never seen this before, because usually when a ship unexpectedly falls out of a flow stream, it's stranded in deep space and is never heard from again. There's no data." Tap, new slide. "But now that we have that data, and now that, thanks to Hatid Roinald, we understand the concept of and some of the physics behind evanescent streams, I think I have some potentially extraordinary possibilities to consider with respect to how these evanescent streams will appear in local space." Mars stopped. "How is it so far? You following?" Cardenia held her finger and thumb close together. "About this close to not following." Mars nodded and moved to another slide. "Then I'll make this simple. I think when an evanescent flow stream appears, its shoal does what our newly doomed fiver saw the disappearing shoal do, but in reverse. It appears, tiny at first, and then moves and grows until it becomes anchored. A pause. Actually, I think all the flow streams do this when they emerge into normal time space, but the regular flow streams have been so stable, well, until recently, that there's just never been a chance to see it there. Maybe leave that part out when you talk to other people, Cardenia suggested. Got it. Marsh returned to his slides and advanced another one with more equations on it. So, why does this matter at all? Because if the flow shoals on emerging evanescent streams grow and move, then there may be a way to manipulate and even control that growth and movement, to position the flow shoals closer to human habitats and make them large enough to allow major structures to pass through. So, more ships, Cardenia said. No, Marsh said. Another slide appeared, showing a full-sized human habitat, one that could contain hundreds of thousands of people in it. I'm thinking actual places. It took Cardenia a second before it hit her. You want to put entire human habitats into the flow? Want to isn't the phrase I would use, Marsh said, but it might be possible. And if it's possible, then suddenly things get interesting. Interesting, Cardenia exclaimed, because now she got it. If you could stuff actual entire habitats into the flow, then the biggest bottleneck issue humanity had, actually moving millions of people out of systems when starships could transport only a fraction of that number, became much less of a problem. You wouldn't need ships anymore. You could just move people where they lived. And you could save almost everybody. Let's do this, Cardenia said. Marsh held up his hands. Hold on, he said. It's not that simple. Why not? Because, well, I don't have a slide for that, actually. Forget the fucking slides, Cardenia said irritably. Just tell me. Wow, Marsh said. Cardenia held up a hand. Sorry, that came out a lot nastier than it should have. She pointed up at the screen. But this? It could be it. The answer. Marsh smiled. Maybe, he agreed. But there's a lot that has to come before that. Like what? Well, first of all, I have to actually find out if this is correct. Marsh waved up at the screen. This is just a hypothesis. It's a guess based on data. And not even a lot of data since it's based substantially on a single event. I'd be a bad scientist if I didn't tell you that this is more than a little bit shaky. Fine, Cardenia said. So how do you find out? I'd need to observe the shoal of an evanescent flow pop into existence. Okay, so do that. And ideally more than one. How many more? Marsh wiggled his hands indeterminately. Like dozens, for starters? How much time would that take? If it was just me, more time than we have. With others, maybe a year. By that time, systems will start being cut off. Yes, Marsh agreed. Cardenia frowned at this. But even once we gather the data, all we have is the data. We'll know if the hypothesis is sound enough to become a theory, but then we have certain practical issues to consider. Like how to make one of these shoals large enough, Cardenia said. That's right. And not only that, Marsh pointed to the image of the habitat. Habitats aren't ships. They're parked in orbits or at Lagrange points. They don't go anywhere, relatively speaking, and they don't have any way to go anywhere. At best, they have engines that counteract drift to keep them in their orbital lane, but those aren't going to move the habitats any appreciable distance. We can't get them to a flow shoal. The flow shoal would have to come to them. And how do we do that? Marsh shrugged apologetically. Well, see, that's the complicated part. So you don't know, Cardenia said. And as she said it, she realized that it came out almost accusingly. She hoped Marsh wouldn't pick up on that. He did, of course. Sorry? Cardenia counted to five before continuing. No, don't be sorry. I'm just... Well, I know, Marsh said. I'm right there with you. Trust me on that. But I can't work on trying to direct a flow shoal to a certain point without knowing that they move at all. This is the one step at a time kind of science, I'm sorry to say. I hate that there are no shortcuts, Cardenia said. There aren't, Mars said. I mean, unless you can find the data from whoever it is that created the rupture. What? The rupture. You know, the thing where the people who were in the interdependency systems before the interdependency decided to cut themselves off from Earth and everyone else? I know what it is, Cardenia said. Okay, so whatever it is that they did, they had to understand the physics of the flow extraordinarily well to do it. They actually triggered the collapse of a flow stream, Mars grimaced here, and in doing so, set up the repercussions that we're dealing with now. To do all that, they'd have to know what they were doing better than we know what we're doing. Better than I do, anyway. So if you had their work, you could bypass all the stuff you were talking about. I don't know, Mars admitted. I think we need to confirm the moving shoals no matter what. All the rest of it? He shrugged. It depends. But we'd be better off than we are now. But it doesn't exist. You told me GE didn't find it. Yes, Cardenia said, right. But what if GE did find it? You mean if GE had all the data we were just talking about? Yes. Then I'd be really pissed, Mars said after a moment. Because that would mean that you knew that data existed and that you didn't give it to me, which means I've been burning out my brain trying to save billions of people from dying with the mental equivalent of my hands tied behind my back. Oh, Cardenia said. So, does GE have the data from the rupture? Well, Cardenia said, apparently I am history's worst monster, Cardenia said to her father. Statistically speaking, this seems unlikely, Ottavio VI said. Don't be so sure, Cardenia said. I'm currently on track to fail to save literally billions from a slow death as the universe collapses around them. I'm not sure anyone else compares, statistically speaking. The universe collapsing around them is not something you can control, Ottavio VI said. Failing to save them is not the same as killing them. Yes, well, there's some debate about that at the moment. Cardenia recalled the ending conversation of Mars's presentation run-through, which had, much to Cardenia's dismay, devolved into the couple's first true and actual fight. When it was over, Mars excused himself, ostensibly to continue work on his presentation, but in fact to not have to talk to Cardenia anymore. He had gone to his own quarters in the Imperial Palace, which were basically a dorm-style room for junior Imperial bureaucrats. This is where I'm meant to inquire about the event that precipitated your visit, is it not? Ottavio VI asked. Cardenia narrowed her eyes at her father. It is, but you're not supposed to say it. I will remember for next time. Never mind, Cardenia said. I don't think you're the person I want to talk to anyway. She dismissed Ottavio VI and called on Gigi to bring forth Raquel I, the first emperor of the interdependency. As Ottavio winked out of existence, Cardenia had the almost plaintive realization that she had dismissed the simulation of her father with the same sort of casualness as she would dismiss any other of the apparitions she encountered here in the memory room. In some very real way, some connection with her father, her actual father, had been lost in the act. Cardenia would have thought on it more, but Raquel I was in front of her, waiting. You lied a lot, Cardenia said to Raquella, a statement rather than a question. Humans lie a lot, Raquella replied. Yes, but you lied as a matter of policy, Cardenia countered, during the founding of the interdependency. I did, Raquella agreed. Whether on balance I lied more or less than other people, or subsequent emperors, is a question that would require some research. If I had to guess, I would say that I was somewhere in the middle of the distribution. Did lying ever backfire for you? Personally or as emperor? Either. Both. Of course, Raquel said. Telling the truth also backfired for me at times as well, in the times where it might have been kinder, easier, or more politic to lie. Lies do not in themselves lead to poor outcomes, nor does truth in every circumstance lead to good ones. As with so many things, context matters. It never bothered you to have such a flexible policy about truth and lies, Cardenia asked. No. I had a specific goal, which was to form the interdependency, and then, once founded, to strengthen it to survive its early years. Truth, and lies and everything in between were in service to those goals. The ends justified the means. At the time, I would have said it differently. What would you have said? That the end was too important to foreclose any particular means. That's a convenient bit of sophistry, Cardenia said. Yes, it was, Raquel concurred. And once again, Cardenia was reminded that this version of Raquel was not burdened with ego and was therefore not concerned with justifying her actions in any way. It must be nice, Cardenia thought to herself. Is there a reason you are asking about truth and lies? Raquel asked. I withheld information from someone, Cardenia said. Data about the rupture that might have been useful to him. He wasn't happy about it at all. He was unhappy that I lied to him about Gigi having information about it and that I wouldn't share it with him. It's your prerogative, Raquel said. He's also my boyfriend. That complicates matters. Yes, it does. Have you resolved this? No, Cardenia said. I apologized to Mars for lying to him and explained why I didn't tell him about the data. It was because the rupture is the reason we're in the situation we are in now. The choice scientists and politicians made 1,500 years ago in setting off the rupture made the collapse of the flow inevitable. We aren't responsible enough for that data. At least, I don't think we are. And Mars disagreed. He said we aren't them, that we're smarter than that. And then I did something I shouldn't have done. What did you do? I laughed in his face, Cardenia said. She looked at Raquel helplessly. I didn't mean to. It just came out. But he's wrong. Every moment of my reign as emperor has shown me that we aren't better than those people 1,500 years ago. We're not better than you were when you started the interdependency either. Sorry. I'm not offended, Raquel said. I don't have the capacity to be offended. Well, Mars does. And he was. And then he was angry that I wouldn't share the rupture data with him. That I still won't. You think he will do something terrible with the data? No, Cardenia shook her head. Not him. I trust Mars. It's everyone else in the universe I worry about. Once the data is out, the data is out. The people who used it before nearly killed themselves and everyone else with it. They're going to kill us with it as an unintended consequence. We were lucky that information was lost for so long. It's poison. You don't think Mars could keep that data to himself? He can't. He's just one person. He can't do all this work himself. If this data turns out to be useful in any way, he'll need to share it with other scientists, to confirm it, and to let them work on sections of the problem while he works on other things. It's what he's already doing. Once they start working with the data, they'll see the implications of it. Nothing stays a secret. Cardenia smirked as she said this. You should know this better than anyone. You programmed Gigi to find every secret in the interdependency. You explained this all? I did. Mars wasn't convinced. He said that if the data held useful information and I kept it locked away, then if we failed to find a way to save the people of the interdependency, their deaths would be on me. Cardenia shrugged. And I'm not sure I can say he's wrong about that. It's entirely possible that I will go down as history's worst monster. Mars is angry with me for lying to him. He's even more angry about me not giving him the data. You admitted to him you lied. It just kind of slipped out. You probably shouldn't have done that, Raquel said, if you wanted him not to be angry with you. It's a little late for that now, Cardenia said, annoyed. I was kind of hoping that you might have some experience that would be useful for me to fix this. Because, you know, you were good at lying, and I am evidently really not. Are you asking what I would do in the same situation? Raquel asked. Yes, sure. I would probably break up with this person. What? If there's no personal relationship with this person, then you don't have to worry about him being angry or upset with you. You are the emperor. You will not have difficulty finding other people to have personal relationships with. Okay, one, in my experience, that is very not true, Cardenia said. And two, let's assume that, for a moment, I want to actually maintain this relationship.
If you say so.
You'd really just break up with someone like that?
I did break up with someone like that, Raquel said. My first husband.
And that didn't bother you?
No, he'd been an ass for a while.
Well, Mars isn't an ass, Cardenia said. I'd like to keep him.
Share the data with him.
I already explained why I'm not sharing it.
Share it with him and sequester those he would share the data with.
Sequester, Cardenia said. That sounds suspiciously like put them in science prison so they can't leak.
It would offer second-order issues, Raikela agreed.
I don't think I could do that, Cardenia said, and then stopped. Raikela waited, patiently, because as a simulation, there was no reason for her not to. Gee, Cardenia called after a moment. The humanoid avatar appeared, standing next to Raikela. I understand that you've tried to access the computer of the Auvergne, the ship that is currently docked in my berth.
Yes,
Gee said.
You've not been successful. Not so far, no.
You're also aware that Tomas Chenevert, the artificial person who inhabits the Auvergne's computer, has extended an invitation to you to chat with him.
Yes.
Why didn't you take him up on the offer?
I'm not programmed to accept such an offer, Gigi said. I am designed to interact with Emperos in the memory room and to seek out hidden information. Aside from a very limited ability to address maintenance staff for issues I cannot resolve myself, I have no protocols for other interactions.
Cardenia turned her attention to Raikela. Why not? You programmed Gigi. There's no reason not to make it able to deal with other people.
What other people? Raikela asked.
The memory room is designed only to be accessed by sitting Emperors.
And no other Emperor ever thought to have Gigi address anyone else?
Every other Emperor accepted what Gigi told them about its role.
So I'm just that weird, Cardenia said.
I wouldn't have put it that way, but yes.
Cardenia smiled at this and then addressed Gigi. I would like you to take Tomas Chenevert up on his invitation to chat, she said. He's already informed me that he can create a sandbox area within his servers where the two of you can meet. You won't otherwise be able to access his servers, and he won't be able to access yours. It will be neutral ground. Make the arrangements and have your meeting as soon as possible.
Yes, Your Majesty, Gigi said, and disappeared. To what end?
Raikela asked. Mars already shares information with Chenevert, Cardenia said, and Chenevert has been getting up to speed on flow physics. If I'm satisfied he can be trusted, I can share data about the rupture with Mars on the condition that the only person he shares it with is Chenevert. He's an artificial person, and he spent the last 300 years being sequestered. It wouldn't be cruel to keep him cut off from everyone else. He already is. Cardenia spent a few more moments in the memory room before rounding out her session. Mars was waiting for her when she came out.
I have things I need to tell you, she said. Important things.
They can wait, Mars said. His face was drawn and upset. Cardenia frowned.
What is it?
Something's happened, he said. To Kiva Lagos.